Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the wonderful, the great, the beautiful Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike.
What's going on here?
Trey is playing end-of-year jokes, I guess.
Yes.
He decided the best thing for this show is to not have to hear me. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I disagree. I think we want to hear
Aww,
you. And
thanks,
in fact, it's a family affair today.
It is.
You brought the whole clan from home. Tell us who you brought to.
Well, you said great, wonderful, and fantastic.
No, I said great, wonderful, and beautiful.
Beautiful. So that is actually my wife, Stacy, and she's sitting outside with my three boys, Joshua, Zach, and Elijah. So they all came down to see that I actually do this show.
Yes, we are real.
Yes.
And our guests are real.
Absolutely.
We have a couple of great guests here in the studio. Two business leaders we want to introduce you to. Tim McCormack with Business Transition 360 and Jeffrey Cohen with Attack Digital Marketing are our guests this morning. And we'll start with Tim. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tim McCormack, you are the owner of the big poopah for Business Transition 360. Give us a broad overview about your company and what your company does.
Okay, first and foremost, in case my wife is listening, she actually is the big poopah. we are partnered in this.
Smart man.
Very so, wise.
Cassie McCormack and I started the business about 4 years ago. Business specializes in, we're a furniture dealership, first and foremost, a business furniture dealership. But uniquely enough, we are a project management company. So we like to deal with companies that are anywhere from 12 to 18 months out on a business transition event, hence the 360. We come in and help them with everything from space planning to design to getting rid of furniture. We call it repurposing or decommissioning it. Our motivation is to sustain furniture. Last year, we actually repurposed about 90% of the furniture we pulled out of buildings and then replaced it with new furniture. So we have a sustainability component to what we do, and we're very, that's one of the things we're grateful for, to try to keep furniture and assets out of landfills, if you will.
What was the other word you used? You repurpose or?
Decommission.
Decommission. So we never throw out anything anymore. We're going to decommission.
We decommission it. I like that.
Call me. You may want to get some furniture, by the way, Mike. Kidding. Joking.
We have nice furniture in here. What are you trying to say?
As usual, if only people could see right, some of the things that are going on. Tim, I was going to ask you, so 360 means, just like you said, from 12 to 18 months out all the way through execution. How does that separate you? If someone deals with someone else who isn't repurposing, who isn't, you know, they're not doing all the different things, what's lacking in some of your competition that sets you guys apart?
Well, it's a great question. We found that when we worked for a company prior to opening our company, that most furniture dealerships, they hire reps, and the reps want to go out and sell furniture and move on. And we found that a lot of clients that we dealt with didn't really have a single source solution. People would come and say, I'll do the furniture, I'll do the moving. Who do I call to get rid of the furniture? They call a liquidator. And what often happens is those three big pieces start crossing over, and you get into a lot of challenges when you're trying to manage all of those things during a, say, 1 month transition process. You can lose a lot of productivity. We've seen companies have rent penalties because of overruns. They didn't get the furniture out on time. All of a sudden, you got a $20,000 rent hit because you didn't get the space broom swept the way you needed to for the landlord. So,
wow. And I think also probably business owners, when it comes to we're moving, there's 972,000 things they got to think about. And the furniture, quote unquote, they think is just one thing, when in actuality, it's about 72 things, you right. know, are you going to decommission or is it going to be repurposed and all those different kinds of things. So, and you also do space planning as well?
We do. We do.
Wow. So it really is kind of, when it comes to your stuff, let us handle everything.
Yeah, it's absolutely, we actually came up with 360 things, hence the name, but,
wow. And
we could have probably had 400.
How long did it take you to come up with 360 things? Wow.
We're still working on it.
Okay.
However, there are clearly a major amount of task to undertake. And what happens, and it's interesting, we were talking, Jeffrey and I were talking earlier about finding the right people. 35 to 40% of the time that someone is delegated the task of relocating a company, furniture, they lose their job. Or they receive a poor business review or job review at the end of the year. IFMA reports this, Cornet reports it, BOMA reports it. People don't, they're not skilled enough, or that's not their skill set to relocate a company. It's like a whole nother job. And we've actually, I mean, there's companies that pay $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 just for a PM company to come in and manage the project. We charge a fee, but it's much less than that as part of our overall solution.
Is there a lot of competition out there for you, or how unique is your model?
There's nobody. We own the market. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously,
I was buying.
We believed you.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, wow.
No, there are great companies out there. We have some wonderful companies that compete in our space, and it just makes us better at what we do. But we do find that most furniture dealerships, they will partner with a company for project management, whereas it's an in-house function of what we do. PMing is just part of our process, and we lay that out pretty very early on in the process to make sure clients are comfortable that we can handle the some 300 task.
I was going to ask, what's the spectrum of the size of companies that you work with? And I guess specifically, I'm thinking how small.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a 5-man operation, is there still a space you can help with? And how big can you go up to?
You know, we found. I mean, I came out of the relocation industry, so we never say no. And that's probably not a great thing. However, we've helped one-person offices, and we are master service providers to companies like Fiserv, Hewlett-Packard through a facility service company called ISS Facility Solutions, IST Management, FoodBuy. So we try to become a master service provider, and we could be working in offices, lease renewals with five folks up to, we've done Veritiv projects upwards of 320 people.
So then my other question was going to be, business owners clearly barely know the tip of the iceberg when it comes to relocating and when it comes to their furniture and transition. Where should they start? What are some of the questions they should be asking if they're talking to anybody other than you?
Yeah.
And they can also ask you those questions because you're providing them. But where should they start? What should they be looking for? What are the certifications? I'm just going to give you a blank slate. You've got a room full of business owners listening to you. What advice would you give them, you know, time-wise, all that kind of stuff?
Great question. And it's, ironically enough, Jeff, coming up next. Digitally speaking, we try to put as much content out there because so many buyers go to the web to figure out who's the best in that space. We all know this. We do a lot. We do print media. We have a Twitter account, LinkedIn, et cetera. I invite any business owner to go to our website first and then inquire. You can go to my LinkedIn site. There's a lot of content out there. We have three folks that do market research for us, are on the phone every day trying to get information into the hands of business owners that have a potential, you know, people are moving every 3 to 5 years, essentially. So one of the things that we try to help them with early on is assess where's the best place to move, where are the best rates, and what might be the most functional building for them to work in once they do relocate. So, but our web is, I think, very robust. We've been told there's a lot of information out there. Or they can call me direct at 678-360-8708. I'll answer questions anytime.
We're talking with Tim McCormack. He's the president of Business Transition 360. Can you imagine if they came up with like 357 things? It's like, God, we got to find three more. It could have been business transition, you know, 357. But
I was thinking he can't go past 360.
I know.
Right?
Because 360 with another
is where do you go there? Then he's got to go to 720. He's got to come up with another 360 things. So.
Exactly. When it comes to a customer needs standpoint, where do you find your biggest challenges?
That's a great question. I should be better prepared. Now, needs-wise, I mean, what you find is that demographically, the employee population is changing. You've got the millennials, you've got the boomers, you've got the Gen Xers. What we find is that the first thing we want to do is ask clients, how many Gen Xers do you have? Because everybody wants to sit in a different environment. You can't do that for everybody. You can't accommodate everyone, obviously. But there is a concept out there, a trend in design called neighborhoods, where they literally, you set up neighborhoods relative to the workspace, if you will. But a lot of companies are going simple. It's a 6x5 or 6x6 workstation. They call it a desking system, where there's just a little divider between them. The stations of old are going away. You don't see the big bulky metal 72-inch high stations anymore.
Is cubicle a taboo word?
It's not, because we still repurpose and sell those to wholesalers. Okay. So we would like to have the market out there for that. However, you know, even the wholesalers aren't real interested in old style stations. So a lot of times we metal recycle it with newel. You can, depending on what the market is, you know, you can get a little bit back on that for clients to wash out some of the costs for removal, because there's still going to be a removal cost when you pull that stuff out of a building.
You talk about being a family-owned business. You mentioned your wife, Cassie. Talk about what it's like to be a business owner. You know, you've grown this from scratch, right, to very successful. Talk about the challenges and what it's meant to you to be your own boss and to do this. And what are your plans? Where do you see yourself in the future?
That's a great question. Cassie and I have been together 22 years. We've worked off and on together for 22 years. She actually had a real estate background, both commercially and residentially, one with Trammell Crow. She had a facility management background. So she was very strong in the facility side of what we do, understanding space planning. I had a furniture background, worked for United Airlines for years. So working together, it has its ups and its downs, but you know, we have a God component to our business. We try to do the right things with the gifts we're provided, and that's helped us sustain our business. The future, we're actually in a budgeting process. We're looking to recruit and add a couple of folks this year, one in the project management area, one in the sales area, and then a market research person. It's been, yeah, we're blessed.
Growth is good.
Yes, absolutely.
So what area do you serve currently? Is it mostly just the Metro Atlanta area? How far is your reach?
Our first year, we're going on our fourth year, we're about 50-50 Georgia, Atlanta to national or domestic business. We had a couple clients we signed early on that were based out of St. Louis, where we hailed from 8 years ago or moved from. Now, that business is more about 70-30 Atlanta to the rest of the country. We did projects in Oakland, California this year. We did them at JFK Airport, Florida, Texas, Michigan, St. Louis, and Colorado.
So anybody listening anywhere in the country to this right now, they could potentially use your services.
They can.
Great. So, I was going to ask one last question. You talked about the thing that made my eyebrows go up was the job performance review and potentially losing your job for not doing a good transition. So one of the things we ask is, as you continue to grow your business, is it more business owners who reach out to you, or is it that project manager inside the company that's, oh my goodness, I got this transition, what should I do? Who are the people that need to be reaching out to you?
In the 50 seat and under company, it's probably going to be a business owner, mm-hmm, or maybe his HR or CFO. This is, for us, this becomes a financial conversation, we hope, because the CFO, he or she, there's one thing that happens in business. A lot of people think they can sell furniture and make money on it. The problem is, if you take a check on old furniture, it's a gain to the company. Right? I mean, most CFOs know that. So we try to tell them, hey, we will take that furniture, but we'll use it as a trade credit on the new furniture. So smaller companies, 50 employees and less, probably a business owner or a CFO. Bigger companies, facility directors, real estate directors, senior VPs of real estate and facilities.
That was a good advice right there at the end. I mean, I'm sure that might have perked the ears and eyebrows of some listeners.
Especially somebody whose job performance review might be counting on this.
Yeah. Yep. Well, for Tim, for those that would like to find out more about your company, look into your services and hopefully hire you out. So where can they get that information?
You know, I think the easiest place to find me is tim.mccormack, M-C-C-O-R-M-A-C-K, at businesstransition360.com or on LinkedIn. There's plenty of content out there, or go to our website, which is businesstransition360.com.
Businesstransition360.com. And Tim McCormack, the president of Business Transition 360. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Mike, before we get to our next guest, I just want to remind all of our listeners that this show is sponsored by Fairytech. We are very grateful for Fairytech and all that they do for us. And Fairytech is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware. Fairytech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more information, our listeners can visit Fairytech.com. That's Fairytech.com. So when they're moving, they can get new printers and copiers or get the ones moved over and get them serviced and have some fantastic furniture at their new place.
Way to tie that into our guest, and of course, Fairytech, and a shout out to Maria and all the great folks at Fairytech as well. All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Attack Digital Marketing, the co-founder, Jeffrey Cohen. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
All right, a marketing company. There's lots of marketing companies out there. Attack Digital Marketing, what's your niche? What is it that you guys do?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me today. Appreciate that. We focus on sales-driven organizations that are looking to grow, and they want to better utilize digital marketing solutions and help that flow through into their sales process and into their sales pipeline. This is a very much an expanding, changing world, and it's very difficult for businesses to keep up. We work with a lot of B2B companies that tend to be heavy on the sales side and less support on the marketing side, and we are helping them with that transition, understanding how they can use the technology to better help them and have more visibility.
You know, Tim was talking about digital marketing and how involved they are. He understands that. Do you find a lot of businesses that you talk to don't quite understand how important that is? And do they typically seek you out, or do you have to kind of seek them out and explain to them, hey, you really do need some help here?
That's a great question. And the reality of the situation is, I think that business owners simply, they understand it. They just don't know where to start. And they
it can be overwhelming because you mentioned how it just changes all the time.
Right, right. I mean, and you heard Tim, I don't know if you mentioned, you know, the company he works with, he was excited. I mean, those guys solve a problem for him. That email marketing and how that morphs, all the information, the analytics, the reporting, everything that you can see in there is very clear. But that's not Tim's business. I mean, Tim's business is to streamline and flow an office situation, but he'd be a perfect example of a company we'd work with. I mean, he talked about that beforehand. This was 12 to 18 months before the actual business changed. So we do the same similar thing. We have companies that we work with that have a long product cycle in terms of when people have to make a buying decision. And so through that process, that education is extremely important. So we get into another situation that branches off into, how do I put out content that's engaging? And who am I talking to? Beforehand, we were talking about, you know, he said he would service anyone, which is great, which is a fantastic solution provider. But the needs of a person who is going to move a 1,000-person office is different from a person who's going to move 20 people. And you need to speak to those individual buyer personas a little bit differently. And that's something that we start with. A lot of times people say, oh, I could use your services. Can you do email for me? And I say, whoa, let's step back for a second here and let's do that exercise and take a look at your buyer. So that's the step that we find a lot of sales-driven organizations. They haven't gone back in a while and really thought about the different levels of their buyers and what information they need. Now, with larger organizations that already have marketing people and have that clarity in place, we can provide some of that services on the software side and implementing those in the reporting and the analytics.
So same question that I had asked Tim around their furniture, I'll ask you around people's digital marketing. Do you find that your niche is more on the smaller business side, the owner who just, I have no time to do any of this, but I know I need it? Or is it, you kind of talked about helping with a project in a larger company. You know, what's your spectrum and what are your best niches?
You know, I think that the small business owner is always challenged. And one of the things that obviously we start with is email marketing. And the challenge for a small business owner, and I'll speak to that first and then talk, but we do work with the larger B2B companies in the $10 to $100 million range. email is a dangerous weapon in the hands of somebody who is starting a business. Because it's a very low-cost model, you can utilize it very easily, and it's very accessible. It also is very dangerous because it can turn off your buyers very quickly, and you can burn through your customers, and you have to question what value. And that's really one of the massive questions that's out there. There are 75 trillion emails and growing each year being sent. So, and I have had people say to me, oh, email is a bad word. Don't use that. I said, but it's a crucial word because the decision makers that are out there at the high end of a company, who's an important buyer decision maker who comes into the buying process often late, that is a technology they understand. And what I mean is that a business owner out there oftentimes who is the head or the owner of the company, tending to be in the 45 to 75 year old range, they may not understand social media, but they do know how to open their phone. They know how to navigate their email. And the saying is, you don't have to explain email to your grandmother, but all the other social media solutions you do. So it all fits into the overall scheme of things. But to answer your question real quick on B2B, a lot of times they're sales-driven organizations manufacturing a product. They tend to be spread around to the different territories nationally, and we work with those types of companies also.
And I wanted to go back to the fact that you said that where you start with anybody who wants to start here is not just, what do you need me to do? Give me the project. You want LinkedIn? Sure, we can do that. You want this? Sure, we can do that. I like the fact that where you guys start is, no, let's think about the process. Let's think about the sales process. What are you trying to accomplish? It's almost like you start with why.
Yes, absolutely. And my background's 20 plus years in sales. I've been selling marketing solutions for the past 15 years. And I had primarily been selling in the print events and third-party digital media, advertising, email marketing space. And the problem with my clients was they're like, I love you. You're great. Your service model's fantastic, but I don't know what I'm getting from my buy. So what you're able to do now is to track more clearly what is going on with the conversation that you're controlling to your customers. And it really depends. There are many steps to that. So I'm looking for a company who's willing to go through that process. Has our model been built out yet to solve a specific need? Yes, we can do simple projects here and there if you already have something in place. But I think we really lend a lot of value to companies who say, I want to look at my sales process. I want to do a better job of providing my different buyers information so they can self-educate. And I want to follow and I want to track that.
We're talking with Jeff Cohen with Attack Digital Marketing here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And real quick question as we talk about trends of digital marketing and where it's going. You know, like Twitter came out years ago and it was more of a social thing. And I could have fun on Twitter and so forth. And now it's a business thing.
You know, I've found that not many people are going to my MySpace page anymore. So yes. I think I might need to listen to this next question.
Do you, any idea where things are headed or what might be next up the highway?
I think that what you've seen in companies that are massively using currently inbound marketing or email marketing, the rise of personalization of how that message gets to you and they understand your preferences greater. The consumer, even the business consumer, is expecting that on a much higher level, that the messaging comes to you and is well targeted. That is makes it very important to individuals. You have a massive number of emails that are going out there. So the question is, how do you cut through that clutter and project your brand strength and that you are the solution provider in that market, especially when it's a commodity-based solution. So,
Quick point. When Jeff and I spoke earlier, and I'd like to share something. 4 years of doing this, I would surmise we've spent probably $50,000 on marketing. And the best example is we found a forensic company that was tracking people coming to our website. And the promise was, and this is going to be an endorsement of what Jeff does. Before you go out and just start throwing darts at the board, I contracted with this company for 2 years to the tune of $400 a month. Very disappointed in what they provided in terms of forensics and finally went back to our marketing company. But to Jeff's point, I don't know all those things digitally speaking. You know, I know furniture, I know right. relocation, I know decommission. He made the point. So I highly recommend his approach to doing it because We've certainly wasted a lot of marketing dollars trying to figure it out.
Well, and let me jump on that. So your space is fairly crowded when it comes to digital marketing companies. And I think there's a preconceived notion that business owners think, how can I, what should I be looking for? What should I be looking for Jeff Cohen to tell me after working with him for 6 months or a year or 2 years? What are some of the tangible things that a business owner should be looking for in their relationship with you that they can go, okay, now I know I'm getting my money's worth? Because in business, the ultimate, I know I'm getting my money's worth is, hey, I have more clients. Hey, I had more people call me through the website or those things. What are some of the things that a business owner should be looking for that they have a good relationship with their digital marketing that they will get with you if they don't already?
Well, let me share with you a real world example of an email that I got yesterday from a technology provider out there. And the email said, hi, Jeffrey, we've noticed you have not been opening the emails we've sent from you. So we have now taken you from our daily email newsletter, okay, to a weekly one. So that's creepy to most people. But the reality of the situation is everybody has become more comfortable sharing their email addresses. That type of technology is readily available. But look at how that company structured that message. They told me I can't have something for free anymore. It forces a re-engagement. So how they engaged their customer. So you're asking that process. How in 6 months do we know? Well, in 6 months, you should start to be like, aha, I'm starting to see some metrics. I'm starting to be able to see how we are testing this. Are we a term we use is A-B testing. How do we change different components of that email messaging? I'm starting to see higher levels of engagement because this is an educating process for a B2B, a longer cycle. It's not an impulse buy generally. Somebody has a need for a service that's going to be ongoing and we can target that better. I think that they start to realize, and I'll step back and share one interesting thing. In 2011, there were about 1,000 software companies that were considered marketing technology service solution providers. Now there are about 6,500. Venture capitalists have enormously dumped money into this space. So now not only has the digital world fundamentally changed for a business owner, and it's morphing at a fast rate, but now they have 650% increase in times of trying to figure out which solution provider is correct. So we help evaluate that business. Where are they in that cycle? Okay. What do they need? Which solution provider can they budget for? And what fits their business model?
Let me ask you this, Jeff, regarding social media. Seems like there's hundreds of social media platforms these days. Mm-hmm. Are there ones that are more important, ones that really people need to focus on, especially that business owner?
I would absolutely say that that's an important component because in your content distribution strategy, not only through your email marketing, but your website and your social channels, it's important. It's very important to figure out also when you understand your buyer of which channel you should be prioritizing. And how you manage that engagement. I think that Microsoft's purchase of LinkedIn for $26 billion says a great deal about the business market and what they want to be doing and who they want to be communicating. Think about how LinkedIn is structured. It will tell you everyone in the organization by their title and their location. There's an enormous amount of demographic and firmographic information that's there for them to mine. I think that going forward, we'll look at that transaction as being, some people say it's ridiculous, it's super expensive. That's what people also said when Google bought YouTube for $1.6 billion. And now that is literally, I think on a quarterly basis, profiting more than that transaction. So I think that it makes a big difference. You have to discriminate because you can't chase everything.
And one of the things that Jeffrey and I have had this discussion a year ago about Business Radio X is, you know, the importance of digital content. And you said really, and I remember this conversation, I share this with a lot of other folks, Jeff, that you actually said we're misnamed. We're not radio. We're digital content creators or a digital content factory. People need this kind of stuff. And I'm kind of tooting our own horn right now, but they really need this stuff because you could be on Twitter and LinkedIn and all this stuff, but you got to have something to put on there.
100%. It's an extremely important channel. I'll just share with you my personal, you know, as a business owner too, there's an enormous amount of self-education. When I go to the gym, I used to get on a piece of equipment and watch Amazon or Hulu. You know what I'm pulling up now? I'm pulling up YouTube videos of other products that I need to see. And that I think will increase not only on YouTube, but I think that our ability, Bluetooth headsets and an ability to transmit and capture information. There's an enormous opportunity out there.
Mike, what are you pulling up on YouTube when you go to the gym?
When I go to the gym? Trying to remember last time I went to the gym. All right. Jeff, for those that would like to find out more about tech, digital marketing, sounds like you really know your stuff. Obviously, you mentioned the 20 years experience and so forth in sales and advertising and so forth. Where can folks get more information?
Easiest way is email me. Jeff, J-E-F-F. I always like to say that because people sometimes misspell with Jeffrey. We spoke about that in the beginning. Jeff at attackdm.com. You can go to our website, attackdm.com. And look forward to hearing from people.
Great. Jeff, thanks for coming in and sharing your story and telling us all about your company. And
thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mike, before you close out the show, we want to say thank you to our studio sponsor, because every show here in the Gwinnett studio is done in the Subaru Gwinnett studio. And we know that love is what makes a Subaru. And our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. They can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com. And they can join the family today. They can come in and see the difference. Maybe they're already a Subaruist. They can follow Subaru Gwinnett's Facebook page. There you go, on their social media. Mm-hmm. For the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
Subaru's ahead of the curve. And again, you can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, Gwinnett BRX. Of course, you can listen to this show or any of our shows 24/7 by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com.
We're not yet going to be called Gwinnett Business Digital Media X.
No, we got a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. We don't want to mess with the brand. Jeff will tell you that. Yeah,
don't mess with your brand.
Exactly. See?
Protect your brand at all times. All
right. Gwinnett Business Radio X. All those listeners, my mistake, my bad.
There you go. Any parting words other than, beating up on the website name?
No, I think I've done enough damage. I think it's time to close the show.
You want to say anything to your family out there that's watching?
Thanks for coming, guys. Thanks to, especially to my wife, who is definitely my better half and stands behind me and wouldn't be here without you. So thank you.
I have a couple words. I just want to say happy holidays, and I want to say safe travels to everyone. Be safe out there. The roads are crazy. And I will see you, Mike, and you, Stephen, next year.
It's only crazy when Trey gets on the roads.
Wow. That's right.
Yes.
It's only crazy when I'm on the microphone.
Please put it on social media, Trey, so that we can all know when you go on the roads.
For our producer, Trey Odom, and Tim McCormack with Business Transition 360, and Jeffrey Cohen with Attack Digital Marketing, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.